as we come together on this evening, thanking God for another opportunity that we may all continue to burn up. It is truly good. As we came together on this morning to start our Bible class, to be able to see the conversion of Brother David, it was a truly great start of our service to God on this day. As we went through our Bible class, the short time that we had to spend together because of the great event that took place with the baptism, the short 20 minutes that we had were beneficial for somebody. Our worship service, as we came together on this morning, understanding that we need to continue to let go and let God. Continuing on with some great company at the house, some good food, no nap, but that's okay. Our men's training class and the ladies' Bible class. And then to still be able to come and to sing praises unto God. For those that were not able this morning to partake of the communion, to be able to do so, to give back a portion of that that God has allowed them to prosper. All of that is wonderful. But I want to remind you, as I preached this same lesson on last year, that there is still much to be done. As being a disciple of Christ, we must understand what our responsibilities are, and we must do these not when we feel like it, but do them on a daily basis. Because God, He has laid down the foundation. He has gave us standards in which we must uphold. And I've heard men say that after they follow another man's preaching, that he has sure enough set the bar and you have a lot to reach for. But I believe that the greatest man that ever walked this earth, he set the bar. And as we follow after him, we can't go wrong. No matter how meager our service is to Him, if it's all that we can do and the best we can do, that's what we need to do. So as we talk about what a disciple is, and also as we look at the title, what is a Christian, we have to know that God has given us the definition. He has given us our rules and regulations that we must follow. The standard is here. What is a Christian? He's a follower of Christ. We're going to find that this word has only been used three times in the Bible. And it wasn't a good term in the beginning, you know, when, oh, those are Christians. You know, it's a derogatory term. It meant to hurt people. But we know today it's a great thing to be a Christian. Because it is following after Jesus Christ, the one that came down here upon this earth, gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary, to be buried and raised again up on the third day, to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father. He has left us a great example. A Christian or a disciple is not just one that says, I believe, but one that has said, I believe, and I'm going to show you why I believe and what I believe by being obedient. Only disciples were called Christians. No one else but disciples. Well, again, what is a disciple? He's a learner. He's a follower. He's an adherent to the Word. And as he adheres to the Word, he makes sure he places the Word first in his life. Our goal is to be more like Jesus. We don't want to be like any man. We want to be more like Jesus because Jesus, again, is our greatest example on how we're supposed to live. You know, Paul, as he even wrote, he says, you know, be ye examples of me as I am an example of Christ. He pointed right back to Christ. It's not, look what I've done, but look what Jesus has done to lay these things out for you and I. And then we must see that we must be conformed to His image. And as we are conformed to His image, we make sure that we're living in a fashion that He is pleased with. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm finding it hard to read that yellow. But you know what? We're going to get through this all. John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Now, I just said what many of y'all were thinking. John chapter 8, verse 31. He abides in Jesus' words, not, you know, well, old Tom said it over here and Jim said it over here, but no, it's abiding in the words of Jesus. It's not my opinion, your opinion, but it's what thus said the Lord. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. If you continue. Well, what if you don't continue? Well, Jesus is telling you, if you don't continue, then you're not my disciple. You're not my follower. Have you ever been going on a trip and you were supposed to be following someone and maybe they, you know, thought that you were behind them and they sped up and when they got to that destination, you were no longer with them? Somewhere you got lost. You didn't get to the same place. And you had to make that phone call and say, where are you? I said, well, you left me. Or I quit following you because you were driving too fast. Or I went around you because you were driving too slow. Then you were not a follower anymore. You wanted to become the leader or you wanted to do your own thing, go your own direction. Jesus said, if now you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and indeed. Going back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 27. Many people, they want to get into heaven. But the only ones that's going to get into heaven are the ones that is doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. You can die in your sin and find yourself on judgment, being cast out into outer darkness, or being deported away from the Lord as He speaks to you because of your disobedience. You did not follow Him wholeheartedly the way you were supposed to follow Him. But it says again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? All those things are good, right? Because now you're standing before the throne and here you're pleading your case. Lord, look at all of what I've done. It wasn't just any old work, but it was something that was wonderful. Somewhere down the line, because of the next verse, you or they did not continue. You did not stay steadfast in the Word of God. Remember again, going back to Luke chapter, John chapter 8, if you continue, he says, and then in verse 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The two foundations as we look at the latter part of this, looking in verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the wind and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. See, those that hear the word of God and those that keep the word of God, you are that rock. You're the ones that's going to enter in because of your obedience unto God's word. It says that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall liken unto them a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Those are the ones that do not abide in the Word of God. Those are the ones that decided, I don't want to follow after Christ anymore. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it as long as I want to, because I'm trying to please self and not trying to please God. See, we need to examine ourselves to know exactly what a Christian is. A Christian, my friends, is one that loves the brethren. In John chapter 1, verses 34, a Christian is one that loves the brethren. See, if you don't love the brethren, then you are not one of Jesus' disciples. That's actually John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. See, we have to love one another. And a lot of times we don't want to love one another because it causes us sometimes to have to give up something that we want to do. Oh, you know, you mean to tell me now you want to go and worship God again on this day? But if you love God, you will worship Him no matter how many times it's stated that you should worship Him in that day. And here we have, the elders have placed the time out there that we come together and we have Bible study at 10 o'clock. We have worship service at 11 o'clock. We have worship service at 5 o'clock. Even today we added something into it where we come together at 3:45. Those that love the brethren will do this because this is what God wants you to do. We would like to be around one another. It says in John chapter 13, look at verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, if you're one that just want to be around those people in the world, you're never around other Christians, the world is going to ask you, where are your Christian friends? Where are your Christian friends? All the time I see you, you're always out at the park playing basketball with people. You're always doing this and you're always doing that. You're over there at the domino shack and you're playing dominoes. Where are your Christian brethren at? Why do you never hang around them? The world do not know who you are because you're acting like the world. But he said, if you love one another, brethren, you know, we need to come together. We need to do things together. He said that they will know that you are my disciples. See, Jesus' disciples, they wanted to be around him. They wanted to be around him because they loved him. They loved his teaching. They loved the things that he had to offer unto them. And then we go to the same book there, John chapter 15, the verses 12. John chapter 15, the verses 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, what are you willing to do for men? If we're to love others as Jesus has loved us, what are we to do one toward another? Are you willing to lay down your life? Or are you willing to say that this is the day in which I'm willing to give it all up, to be obedient to what the Father has said? Are you willing to do that, to show your love toward the brethren? And then we find that a disciple or a Christian, he bears much fruit. In verse 8 of that same chapter, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Bear much fruit. You know, as we talk about bearing much fruit, we need to make sure that we're doing these things the way God wants us to do them. That we act in the way God wants us to act. And there will be times in our lives. William, let's go. Go, William. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. So being a disciple of our Lord, being a Christian, one that's supposed to set the example, many times our fruit, the ones that we hang around, is going to show exactly who we are and why we're doing the things that we're doing. And when we do not behave the way our God wants us to behave, people are not going to identify us as being children of God. So we find here, as we continue, to look how one becomes a disciple. It starts with the mere teaching of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus would have us to do because of His Word. Not because of some book that some man has written, but because of the Word. It begins with baptism. We go to the book of Matthew chapter 28. See, we find that people today are saying that you become a Christian any way that you see fit. But if you're truly a child of God, you became a Christian because that's the only way you're going to become one, is doing it the way God has outlined in His Word. It says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Whose teaching is this? Is it some teaching that some man has just said, you know, I think this would be a great way to show that you love Jesus? Something that some man has written and said, you know, I believe that this is how it should be done. Or was it by men writing down what the Holy Ghost inspired them to write down? We know the answer. Those of us that are disciples of Christ, we know the answer. It's what the Holy Ghost inspired men to write down. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, that first gospel message, after Jesus had been crucified, buried, raised up on the third day, ascended into heaven, here's the message that Peter was to preach to them because of the sin that they had committed for crucifying Jesus. And as they heard the sermon being preached, they asked there in verse 37, when they were pricked in their hearts, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" If you want to be a disciple of Christ, this is the question you would ask when the truth is taught to you. What can I do? What can I do? And what did he tell them there in verse 38? But to do what? Be baptized, or actually repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what it's about. To become a Christian, to become a disciple of Christ, one must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Acts chapter 8. See, a lot of times people say, oh, all you have to do is believe and everything will be okay. Through the book of Acts chapter 8, we find that there were three different sections of people here. The Samaritans, they believed in the preaching that Philip did, and they were baptized there in verse 12. But when they believed Peter of Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You can continue on down, and you find that even when Simon the sorcerer, when he heard the word being preached, he too believed and what? Was baptized. These things are important to realize, that this is the only way that you can become a Christian. And we find also in Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching unto the eunuch, the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. And in verse 37, when they came upon certain water, there in verse 36, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He wanted to become a believer. He wanted to become a disciple of Christ. And it says in verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he showed that he believed by confessing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So you want to be a disciple? Then you would be baptized. You want to, you know, show that you love God, that you're going to continue to do the things that He wants you to do, then you're going to continue to learn and you're going to continue to obey. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, when you find that they was taught and they was baptized, He says, "And you continue to teach them." And what do you continue to teach them? "All things whatsoever I have commanded you." All those things, not some of them, but all of those things. Even in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. See, it's important that we know that, like David was baptized this morning, that it's not over for David. David's still got some learning to do. And how is David going to benefit from this learning or from this teaching if no one gets with him and continues to teach him? Verse 42 said, this is what they continued to do. He didn't say, well, now that you're baptized here, I want you to take this manual and I want you to study it to better yourself as a Christian. No, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is what a Christian, or being a Christian, is all about. That we stay with the Word of God. That we do not put it aside, but we continue to open it up and see what God would have us to do. We must be doers and not hearers only. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 21 through 27 tells us. See, there are many people say, well, I've heard what the Word says. You know, I think everything is going to be all right now that I have heard. No, now that you have heard, everything is just beginning. This is something that we need to realize. Then as it begins, we realize that now we must put these things into practice. It says in James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I want us to examine that just for a moment now. He said, which is able to save your souls. This is what's going to happen. The word is what's going to save you. But who is James talking to? Is he talking to the world? No, he's talking to people, to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. He's talking to men that have already been saved. But he's telling them that you need to stay with the word that you may remain saved. There are many people now that they are Christians, they think that that's all it is. Everything is going to be all right. James says, no, it's not all right. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The one that hears the word and he does the word. He do the things that he's heard and he know that these are the things that's going to save him in the end. I want to ask you, those that have put Christ on through baptism, how active are you in the Word? How many people that have you gone to and talked to about them becoming Christians? How many of them? A lot of us can count on one hand the people that we have had Bible studies with. A lot of us, it's going to take two hands. And as someone was trying to count today, and I told them, I don't know if they heard me, that they had their shoes out. They could have used their toes to count as well. And then there's some of us don't even want to try to number the Bible studies that we have had. Trying to convince people that being a disciple of Christ is not one that just believes, but one that's obedient to what they have heard. See, that's what it's all about. Now, there may be someone here this evening that's not a Christian. And you understand that you're not because you have not gone through the correct process. And the process has already begun on this day where you've heard how to become one. You know, as Philip was preaching unto the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, the Bible teaches us that he started with that very passage in which the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. And the question was asked by the eunuch, you know, who is this man talking about? Himself or some other prophet? And what did Philip do? The Bible says he took him from that very passage of Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as he preached Jesus unto him, the truth was being told how Jesus came to this earth, and he came to this earth for a reason. And that reason we find in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We find that in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, the reason, you know, another reason why Jesus came was to seek and to save those that were lost. And we find today that as we look through the scriptures, some things that the eunuch hadn't seen because they hadn't been written yet, that Jesus came to this earth, you know, as we find to be a propitiation for our sins. For those that came after the first gospel message was preached on the day of Pentecost. You go through the book of Romans. You go and you look at all the epistles that Paul wrote, and you look, see what John wrote, and you see what Peter wrote. And then you see now all the things and the benefits that Paul and John and Peter was telling them that they were going to be able to benefit from, and they had already benefited from. We see that. They didn't have that then as we have it today. So I ask you, knowing why Jesus Christ came to this earth, knowing that as he was in the garden that he prayed to the Father, "Father, if it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done." Seeing that God loved the world so much that he could have done away with it long before Jesus was ever born, but he didn't, because he wanted his people, his creation, to have a relationship with him. You see that. Now we have the benefit of having our sins washed away and starting a new life. As we find in the book of Romans chapter 6, when we come out of that watery grave, we come out to walk a newness of life. We put that old man to death, and now we have a new beginning. And you know what happens as we start that new beginning? A lot of us mess it up. We say, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I see that I'm supposed to have a newness of heart, and I'm supposed to have a changed lifestyle." A lot of us turn back to that old man. We go in and we dig him up. And you know, when you dig something up that has been buried, that something that has been dead, it has a certain type of stench to it. And so we need to just leave that old man where he is. Leave him in the grave. Leave him in the dirt. Leave him in the watery grave. That's where he needs to be. There may be someone here that has not done that. And you're walking around in shame. There's nothing to be shameful about. Think about what Simon asked as Peter in Acts chapter 8, when Peter told him that you and your money is going to perish with you because you thought that you could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Pray to God that this won't happen to me. Pray to God." And so we need some people to ask for prayers that their life may change, that they may not stay in sin, but they may come away from those sinful things that they've turned back to. This is what we need today. We need people to be ready to make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have their sins washed away and be ready to live faithful unto death. Maybe you're here and you're subject to the invitation. We're going to ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.